Good morning. It's a pleasure to stand up here before you. They are dimming the lights, in case you're wondering, so you could see the slides a little bit better. So I appreciate Kyle for doing that for us. You know, we're all concerned about the events that are going on over in Ukraine. I have a friend that's over there stuck in Kiev. He's a Christian, Brother David Sielkos. And he tried to get out, and he is afraid because the city is under attack. By obviously Russians. So just keep him in your prayers. There are several churches over there. I believe Brother Matt Allen has visited over there on several preaching trips. So he also, I'm sure, is aware of more Christians and more churches over there than I am. But just pray for that situation. As those Christians, I'm told the report from David Sielkos is most people over there are not eating or sleeping much. They are so afraid because of the firefights that are going on all around them. So it is certainly a concern and a trying time for them. You know, this morning I want to talk to you about a more serious battle that we engage in every day. And I'm talking about the spiritual battle that every one of us engage in. And that song that we just said was an excellent application. The thoughts that are contained in that song, I think, are representative of the reasons why we preach, the reasons why we teach, the reasons why we tell the good news about the gospel to anyone that will listen in this country, in this city, as well as globally around the world, in places like Ukraine, places like India. Because there are many people who have not heard of Christ. There are many people who have not come to Christ, more importantly. This morning I'd like to share with you a few thoughts about the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, which gives us authority to preach and to teach to every nation. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." In this one verse, it summarizes what we are to do. We are to evangelize. We are to preach and teach, making disciples for Jesus Christ, and then to teach them to uphold all the things that Christ has commanded us. Also in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, in verse 11 through 12, and also verse 14 through 16, it's also up on the screen. Paul says, "He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers," verse 12, "to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." Skipping on down to verse 14. "So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Brothers and sisters in Christ, this morning I'm here to give a report to you to share with you the purpose and the goal of our trip over to India that you helped support. Our purpose and goal to go over there was to spread the gospel. It was to evangelize to those who were lost and to make disciples, just as that first verse that I read iterated from Christ. We were also there to train preachers and to train teachers and to equip the saints. Thirdly, we went over there to take relief items such as clothing and blankets and food to those most in need, those that were poor, who were Christians, and were destitute. Many individuals donated for widows and orphans, and I'd like to express my thanks on their behalf for the help that you help provide Bibles, you help provide things that they need as Christians to grow spiritually as well. When we went over there, initially we bought 100 Bibles, but there was such a great need, we decided to go ahead and get another 100, so we had 200 Bibles purchased. We gave those out to new teachers and new preachers. We gave them out to new converts, new Christians, that many of whom we baptized. We also purchased 100 songbooks to pass out to local congregations, local preachers, Many congregations over there have one songbook for the entire church. And, you know, imagine trying to sing and not really know the words. But certainly that was a great need. Also, we printed out 125 copies of our lessons that we gave out to 125 preachers and teachers on the book of Romans. We also printed out and handed out many tracts, things that contain spiritual scriptures and on specific topics that they needed to teach and wanted some extra material for. All of those were translated into Telugu and given to them in their own local language. We also had teaching and Bible class with about 125 preachers and teachers of the gospel. I believe we spent about 25 or 26 hours in Bible studies. So a lot of Bible study was going on. Our trip, I left on Monday, December 27th, flying up through Chicago and on over to Hyderabad. I met Chad in Chicago, and we both flew over together. It was a 14-hour flight to Dubai. We had a layover, and then we flew on from Dubai 4 hours on to Hyderabad. When we arrived on December 29th, so you lose a day going over, we had brought several bags of clothes for orphans, boys and girls. We gave some to Prem's 5 adopted orphans. We gave also bags of clothes for girls and other donations to orphans throughout our trip, which you'll see many pictures of here in just a moment. There's just a brief picture. Might be hard to see up on the screen. And I apologize, some of these are dark. That's why I had them dim the lights. Hopefully you can see some of these images. Hyderabad, as you might know, is toward the southern half in central India. There are 29 states now in India. Telangana was a newly incorporated state. They split Andhra Pradesh and Telangana, and Hyderabad sits in the state of Telangana. As of 2021, there's approximately 1.39 billion people in the country of India. That is roughly 4 times the size of the United States, in a territory, a landmass that's roughly 1/3 the size of the United States. So it's highly populated, and the second largest country in the world, China being number one, India is solidly number two. Hyderabad has about 10.5 million people. It's roughly the size of the city of Chicago. It covers about 250 square miles, so it is very, very spread out. Although in the city center, you wouldn't know that. It's very, very crowded, lots of traffic. Up there I gave kind of the breakdown. It's mostly Hindu and Muslim, covers about 95% of the city as well as the country. Every other religion, including Christianity, is less than 3%. So in the vast minority. I used air quotes for Christian because they throw in denominations. They throw in Catholics and other denominations into that Christian category. This, I don't know if you can see a picture of Mary and Prem. The back screen is actually a lot easier to see. But Prem is a preacher of the gospel that we have helped support. And was our translator. He's a preacher at 3 congregations at Lalapet, Chalapari, and Hafizpet Churches of Christ. He's also our event coordinator, and he scheduled 15 gospel meetings while we were there, before our trip. He also scheduled all of the Bible studies that we had with 125 preachers, give or take. And that's his wife, Mary, I should say. Mary plays an instrumental role. I can't overlook the importance of Mary in his ministry and his work. She stays back and teaches Bible classes. She takes care of now 6 kids. They've adopted 5 orphans who, I'll just say frankly, were destitute. They were left with no one. 3 of them, I think their aunt died or something, and so he decided to adopt because they had nowhere else to go. These are Prem's 6 sons, and the top, I guess it's the top right corner, is Jason, his son that he has with Mary. And then the other 5 orphans, Salman, Santosh, Anil, Romero, and Sunil. And I probably don't pronounce all their names correctly, so I'll do the best that I can. They also, I don't know if you can see, they drew some greeting cards for us to welcome us to India and made us feel very welcome. All of six of his kids were very loving, very friendly. On December 30th, we drove about 8 hours to Kistrem Church of Christ with a number of about 57 people. And then we drove on to Pendana Church of Christ with about 50 people. There we preached two gospel meetings on December 30th and December 31st. That was a Thursday and Friday. There we baptized one person into Christ. I believe that was Esther. Her name was Esther. Here I've put up a map up on the screen. Again, I'm hoping you can see. Up in this upper area here is Hyderabad, Lalapet. We traveled some 7 hours, about 200 miles, down to Kistrem, which I circled up at the top here, Kistrem. And then on down to the sea, the Bay of Bengal is right here. That's Pendana, where we had the second gospel meeting a few hours away. And then on our way back, let me tell you a little bit more about Pendana. This is the church at Pendana. You can see a large number of families here. Again, hard to see on the screen. But on December 31st, we gave food to about 30 families. They were very hungry. They were out of work. And most of them due to COVID, or they were field workers. And it was just that time of year where it was their winter time. And so they don't really have a lot of work to do because the fields are empty. And so they asked for food, so we gave them food for about 30 families that lasted about 10 days. They were eating one meal a day. I mean, that's their reality. That's how they survive. So giving them any amount of food was a blessing for them. And these are Christians, obviously, that go to Pendana. So thought I'd share that a little bit with you guys. Here's a picture of myself and Chad. Again, hard to see on the screen, so I apologize. The screen here is a little bit of a challenge. We were there. We stayed the night with the preacher there in Pendana. And the church was upstairs on top of his house on the second floor. They had built a room up there with a roof and four walls and such. Actually, I think the preacher had it built, and the congregation just attended there. So on December 31st, Friday, we drove 5 hours and held a third gospel meeting at, and I'm not going to pronounce all these right, so if you're phonetically challenged like I am, this is Vama Kuntala, a village there with a Church of Christ. This was a large group, had 250 people that attended, consisting of both the members as well as denominational folks that were invited. We baptized one person there in Christ. We then drove 8 hours back to Hyderabad. I'll go back to the map. So Vama Kuntala was right here, kind of on our way back from Pendana. And then we drove the 7 or 8 hours back to Hyderabad. And then we were there on December 31st. We were back by that evening. January 1st, most of the country shut down. The Hindu leaders and the government decided that was a Christian holiday, and therefore they would lock down. I think it was beginning at 10 p.m. on the 31st, all the way till 4 p.m. on January 1st, because they didn't want any celebrations, because that was not a Hindu holiday. That was the reason I was told, so that was the way that they persecute Christians there. They try to limit anything that has to do with Christianity. We were given permission to go pick up Trevor, the third member of our group that went over. Trevor Braley is the preacher up at the Utica Church of Christ up near Columbus. I've known Trevor since my days at Florida College. He had a long layover in New Delhi. He waited there, I think, 19 hours. We rested most of that day because we were all exhausted, frankly, especially Trevor, who'd been up all night. After 4 p.m., we were allowed to go and visit the Shamanar. That's the ancient gate of the city, built in, I think, the 1600s. And my slides are getting even darker, it seems. On January 2nd, that Sunday, we preached at the Lalapet Church of Christ, where Prem preaches. There we also baptized one person in Christ. And you can see a picture of Prem here preaching, and that's me. Or he's translating, I'm preaching. And then this is the group, this is the church at Lalapet, if you can make it out. And in the center picture, you can't see it, but that's me baptizing I think it was our third convert. January 3rd and 4th, we had Bible studies. We studied on the book of Romans. We had about 21 preachers and teachers that we studied with for about 8 hours. And their day is pretty broken up. By the time you eat lunch or eat dinner, it's fairly broken up. But so that's the group of preachers up at the top, about 21, like I said. This, you can't really see it, but Chad is teaching, and that's the book of Romans. And this was at Lalapet, which is near Hyderabad. January 4th and 5th, a Tuesday and Wednesday. January 4th, we went on an overnight train to Tooney. That lasted about 9 hours. So we had to sleep on the train. You can see pictures of the bunk beds that we slept on. That's Prem right there, and that's Chad right on the bottom bunk. Chad's a big fellow. He's, I think, 6'5" and 350 pounds. So we put him on the bottom bunk just to, for safety and security, so for his own safety. On January 5th, very early in the morning, about 6 a.m., we arrived in Tooney. We then got in a rented car and drove 3 hours to a village called Kalapari. There we got a hotel for about an hour and freshened up, took showers, because we were on the train all night, obviously. We wanted to freshen up a little bit. So here is the trip. I probably can't hardly see it. This is Lalapet or Hyderabad. We took the train down all the way over here to Tooney, which is near the coast. That's where a big train station is. And then we took a car ride up to Kalapari. So we were quite tired by the time we got there, over 12 hours of travel. On Wednesday, January 5th, we drove a further 4 hours from Kalapari to a village called Vita Rapali, Church of Christ. And there we preached a gospel meeting to a group of about 150 people. And God blessed us throughout our whole trip. I want to emphasize, God truly blessed us. There in Vita Rapali, we had 11 baptisms. 11 people came forward and gave their life to Christ. And there's a picture of all 11 of them that were baptized. It's kind of hard to see, but this is the church where we met. It's an outdoor church. It had just a tarp with wood beams that held up the tarp. And then here's a picture of all the baptisms at a watering hole. It was a deep place of water where they had set up some rocks to fill it with water. So that was quite an experience. We had to hike, I think, a mile down to the creek in order to baptize them. Thankfully, we had great weather. I mean, it was in the 80s that day, so it was wonderful weather to be baptizing. And it was very humbling to see that many people at one place giving their life to Christ. On January 5th, that was Wednesday in the afternoon, we drove 2 hours to a second village for a second gospel meeting on that day. We preached to a small group of about 50 people. There we baptized three. It was too dark to get pictures. But three more, again, gave their life to Christ on that same day. That was a Wednesday. On January 6th, we went to a nearby church, and there we taught Bible classes for 3 hours to 35 preachers. Here's a picture of the 35 preachers right up here. We taught on the book of Romans. So we had the same series of lessons on the book of Romans that we presented to each of these group of preachers and teachers. We were in a little village called Malagaravuru. Hopefully I said that right. We visited there 13 orphans. And some of you may recognize these four boys that you helped give clothes to. Clothes and food. And then there's two more that Brother Chad and the Douglas Hills Church help. And then there was also a group of seven little girls who had been adopted by two deacons. But they had families already of their own. They took them in out of the kindness of their heart. And they needed some monthly support for food. So we made sure that they got monthly support for food and then get them enrolled into school. Sorry, I couldn't think of it. So that was a good thing. We helped 13 orphans while we were there. And so again, I just want to express my thanks that God was able to bless them, these orphans. Some of them, like I said, have no parents and have no one. We also gave them some clothing and food and toys. We were also invited to a member's home. We gave a one-hour Bible devotion at the home. A lot of it was singing, and then we gave a short devotion and several prayers. So that's that picture down right toward the bottom. That was the home with it. Everybody was sitting on the floor. They gave us chairs, but everybody in the house was filled with about 50 or 60 people. And everybody was sitting on the floor, so that was kind of neat. Had great acoustics in that home for the singing. January 6th, late in the afternoon, we traveled to Antolomulu Church of Christ for a gospel meeting. There we preached to a group of about 44 people. Out of that group of 44, six people gave their lives to Christ in baptism. It was very dark, so it was hard to get pictures. And I apologize, some of them are really hard to see. But this top group was, I think, most of the six that were baptized. And it was just too dark to get pictures, honestly. And then you can see the Antolomulu Church of Christ sign was actually in English. Probably a little bit brighter, bold. You could probably see a little bit more of the detail. On Friday, January 7th, we taught Bible classes again in Malagurivu to a group of about 35 preachers. Then we traveled 2 hours to the remote mountain village of Chelanganda. And I gave some pictures of some of the mountain ranges that we passed by. Very beautiful country up in the mountains. Very picturesque. Obviously, we were not there for the scenery, but it was still beautiful to see God's creation in India. On January 7th, later that day, we preached to a group of about 150 people in that village of Chelanganda. Five people gave their lives to Christ in baptism. Later that night, late in that evening, we drove 5 hours back to the train station at Tuni, and then we traveled overnight on a 10-hour train ride back to Lalaped in Hyderabad. So this is the group on the top right. Again, kind of hard to see. You can actually see it better back on the back screen, but there was a large group there, 150. The church building is actually behind them. You can see kind of the roof. So it's like a metal roof with wood slat walls and canvas mostly. And then the five people that were baptized are pictured in the sideways looking pictures. On January 8th, that was Saturday, we were back in Hyderabad at that point after the overnight train ride. We repacked and headed out in a different rented vehicle. We traveled 7 hours to a village named, this was a hard one, Umadadavapalli, I believe is how it's pronounced, for a gospel meeting. We drove an hour from there and went to Madhira to a hotel called The Mountain. There we preached a gospel meeting to about 450 people. That was the largest group that we preached to that I can recall. And here you can see a pretty good picture of some of the people that were there. I couldn't get them all in one picture. They're quite spread out in different areas around us. So we were up on a stage, and people were in front on both sides. Then there was a wall behind us with another group of people we couldn't see at all, for about 450 people total. So here I think I'm just giving kind of an idea of where we were. So this is Hyderabad, and we took a long car ride down to Madhira. And then the second gospel meeting that we had was at another place called, I believe it was Rajaviram. I'll pause here just for a moment. Everywhere we went, from the youngest child to the oldest widow, would stay around and ask us for prayers. Almost every place that we stopped, asked for prayers on their behalf for their family, their health, their loved ones, their education, their children. Some prayed that they could start to have children, young families. So they expressed a desire for you to pray for them as well. And they asked me to convey that information on. So I'm asking on their behalf for prayers, not only for the new converts, but also for all those who ask for prayers for all of these things that they ask prayers for. On January 9th, that was a Sunday, we drove an hour back to Umadadavapali Church of Christ. We preached at worship assembly on Sunday to a group of about 90 people there. That afternoon, during the worship assembly, five people gave their lives to Christ. That afternoon, we went and baptized them. The five women all had Hindu names. I thought this was pretty unique. I've never actually had this happen to me before. They wanted us to give them new names, Christian names. So we chose names that were from the Bible, not necessarily New Testament. We chose Esther, Lydia, Elizabeth, Naomi, and Ruth. And they agreed to those names. They took on those names. So in this picture, you can see the five women here who were baptized, dressed in baptism attire, and then Trevor and Chad and Prim. And you can see they're all holding new Bibles that we also gave them. This was pretty uplifting for me. I'd never seen someone that want to leave their Hindu faith behind so much that they were willing to take on new names. I just thought that was pretty neat. So I thought I'd convey that very uplifting that they had that kind of a heart to repent, completely repent from their old way of idolatry and take on not only a new name, but a new life as a Christian. To me, that just speaks loudly of the power of the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, "The gospel is the power of God unto salvation." And you can see their change of heart to completely giving their lives over to Christ. January 9th that evening, we traveled to a church not far away at a village called Rajavaram, which I pointed out up on the map. We preached there to a group of about 100 people. So this is a picture. You can kind of see the group down here. They had set up these I don't know what they're called, the flash inhibitor for a guy that they had brought in to take pictures. I'm not sure really why they were taking pictures, but they wanted pictures of us. So we obviously accommodated them. On January 10th, that was Monday, we drove an hour to the small village. We had Bible studies again with about 20 preachers. That was at that really long word, Umadadavapali. Yeah, Umadadavapali was where we had the Bible studies with 20 preachers for about 3 hours on January 10th. Then we drove an hour to another village called Ganalaguda. We preached a gospel meeting there to a group of about 75 people. In the top you can see where we had the Bible classes at Umadadavapali, and then down below was the church where we had the gospel meeting at Ganalaguda. I'm sorry, I'm turning around a lot. I'm trying to show you, differentiate the pictures. We also, in this area, we had about 10 widows that had asked for help because they had families. They didn't have a way of earning money, and it was either give them monthly support or find a way for them to try to make a living. So we had collected funds from a lot of individuals to buy sewing machines, scissors, measuring tapes, tables, chairs, thimbles, the things they would need to be a tailor. The widows are now able to earn a living by doing tailor work or being a seamstress and doing mending of clothing. They can earn a living by doing this to feed their families. So far, we've purchased 11 sewing machines, and we hope to have enough collected to buy 3 more eventually. There's a total of 20 widows. We've helped the first 10 with 7 sewing machines, and we're hoping that we'll get another 7 total to help another 10 or so widows. And then three professionals that were Christians volunteered their time to go and train these widows on how to sew, how to make new clothing. With over 1 billion people in this country of India, there's a huge need for clothing for not only young families, but also people all around need mending and those types of those types of things. So here I put some pictures in with the sewing machines. Here's the other four that we just recently got. Here's part of the seven. And then here's some of the training that was going on after we left. They were training the women on how to be a seamstress or a tailor. We also had collected funds from individuals and purchased 130 blankets. We distributed the blankets in this area. There was a lot of needy folks up in the mountains. It gets very cool at night, probably down in the 50s, which to us seems pretty warm. I mean, this time of year, we take 50s anytime. But for these individuals, this area, they're used to temperatures in the high, you know, mid-80s, 85 to 125 in the summer. So 50s to them is very cold. And so those that are very poor and have nothing, these blankets are very, very helpful. And you can see some pictures of us giving out some of the blankets, Trevor, Chad, and I. We also, I mentioned we had purchased 100 Bibles initially and songbooks. We gave them out to new Christians and new converts everywhere we went. I included some pictures of the Bibles that we purchased. Several individuals here had contributed toward the Bibles, so I wanted to make sure that you saw the Bibles that we purchased and giving those out. Everywhere we went, we were giving out Bibles. Many saints are very poor there. Purchasing a Bible in many cases is above their means. It's $6 or $7 for a Bible. Most of them only earn like between 100 rupees to maybe 400 rupees a day for the really well off. Most of the widows were earning 100 rupees a day, which is about $1.30. And they had to live on that. And they had to feed their families with $1.30 a day. So about 35 bucks a month. Which in India, that sounds like a lot, but it doesn't buy a whole lot of food. So buying a Bible at $6 or $7 is a big deal. It would drain their resources. Tuesday, January 11th, we drove an hour back to the village. We had Bible studies again with about 20 preachers for 4.5 hours. This is at Ummadadapapali Church. Then we drove an hour back to our hotel, the mountain, and then we drove on to Madhira Church of Christ for a gospel meeting. There we preached in the evening there to a group of about 75 people on Tuesday, January 11th. January 12th, which was a Wednesday, we drove 6 hours back to Hyderabad. I included this picture so you could get an idea of our travel accommodations. Now, some of the roadways were very scenic. Some were filled with goats, and I didn't have enough room to put a goat picture on here. Entire herds of goats would be across the roadway, so you had to just stop and wait for the goats. Sometimes we had to go through mountain passes, zigzag. I can remember one time we were coming back from the mountains on January 12th. The guy that we rented the vehicle that came with the driver, the driver decided he was going to speed and get back as fast as possible to end the trip, I guess. So he almost ended our lives. We were all sitting there holding on for dear life as he zigzagged down a zigzag mountain, passing cars, weaving in and out, honking his horn, going about 80 miles an hour. It was scary. Life-threatening, would some would say. I don't know if you've ever gone down zigzags on a mountainside and you're looking over the cliff and you're wondering if you're going to fall. So, pretty interesting. Pretty scary. We also went over some of the most treacherous potholes I've ever been on in my entire lifetime on this trip. There was times that my teeth were rattled. I was so jarred by how many potholes we went over. To say the least, I was amazed we made it through without breaking axles or tearing up the guy's car, the van that we were in. Driving was a real hazard at best and a workout, physically exhausting, hanging on at times at worst. So we also had a monkey. I think in the first lesson there, you mentioned a monkey. This is a macaque. It was probably the most common monkey that we saw over there. And he actually snuck up behind Chad and stole a banana, scared the life out of Chad. I mean, he jumped out of his skin, this little monkey. So that was quite a story. But you could also see, I think in the center, you can see we also had to pass a lot of cow-drawn carts. So So that was, instead of tractors, a lot of times they would use cows with a cart pulling, you know, the heavy loads. So I thought I'd give some pictures. And then sometimes we had no roads at all. And that would be this picture here. Can't really hardly see it, but there's literally no road. It's just a dirt path. And so that's what we drove on. And going up that hill, we actually had to get out of the van because the van couldn't make it up the hill. It was so rough of terrain. We ended up walking, I think, part of the way. Then they finally brought a truck in, and we got in the back of the truck and stood up on the bed of the truck and went on up to the village. So a lot of interesting stories. I won't bore you with all that. On January 13th, that was Thursday, we drove 7 hours to a small village. From Hyderabad, we left. We drove 7 hours to the small village. And we preached there to a group of about 235 people. It was later at night, so too late to be giving any baptisms. On January 14th, on Friday, we decided to have Bible classes with about 150 people. We were actually scheduled to give Bible classes with the preachers and teachers there. They ended up showing up late, and so 150 people filed into the church, and we just said, let's have a Bible study. And so we had, for about 4 hours, they sat on the floor, and we had a Bible study. And we all gave different lessons about faith and belief and repentance, and ended up 8 total people gave their lives to Christ. There on that Friday at Arlapadu, after all these Bible classes. And you can see here Chad and Trevor giving the baptisms that day. And then in the middle, you can see there's about 100 people in the group inside. Outside, there was 50 more people sitting on the ground. Some of them had chairs, don't get me wrong, but many sat on the floor for 4 hours. I was amazed. I'd never seen people sit on the floor that long. That's a long time. So it calls to mind, you know, like, oh, I sat in a pew for a long time on Sunday. These folks were hungry for the gospel and were willing to sit on the floor. And we gave them breaks. We let them get up and stand up and walk around several times, obviously, about once an hour. But it's still, that was impressive. On January 15th and 16th, that's Saturday and Sunday. And on the 15th, we drove 7 hours back to Lalapet. From Alapadu back to Lalapet, which is in Hyderabad. We did that pretty much all day. We got back, we were pretty tired. On January 16th, on Sunday, we preached at Lalapet Church of Christ to a group of about 38 members there. And we were all saying our goodbyes. So here's the group at Lalapet. I actually walked up one flight of stairs up on the top of the roof. It was a big wide open space where we could gather and have pictures. And then here's the three of us, Chad, myself and Trevor, and then Prem and Mary and all of their sons. We all got together and had a picture. Over here you could see the boys, how they sit during worship assembly. They all sit up front and pay close attention to what the teacher or preacher is saying. And then I also, everywhere we went was motorcycles. This motorcycle had the most people I saw. It was 5 people on the motorcycle, so would not recommend that, but I was amazed. So in conclusion, our India preaching trip, we preached and had Bible studies with about 1,955 people over 3 weeks. We had a total of 15 gospel meetings. We had 39 total baptisms. We helped 20 widows and 19 orphans with food and clothing and a whole bunch more with blankets. And other food that we had given out. This is a list of 36 of the 39 people that we baptized while we were over there. Most of them, obviously new converts, but most of them had Bible studies with a lot of the preachers and the teachers that we had studies with. Some of them were children of existing members. Some of them were denominational in background. Some of them had attended church for quite a long time. So it was a very sordid mix of different individuals and types of individuals. But every single one of them we gave a Bible to, and every single one of them we made sure they had a church to attend and a preacher that they connected with, so that that preacher or that teacher would follow up with them to make sure that they had follow-up Bible studies. Because we felt that that's very important, That we're not just over there to evangelize, we're not just there to make disciples, but we're also there to make sure that they get taught to keep the commandments that Christ gives us. But I wanted to share that list with you just so you had an idea. It made an impression on me. God's Word is powerful. The gospel of Jesus Christ saves souls through God's grace, through God's mercy, and God's love. These people understood that. These people knew what they needed to do to be saved. I have not talked much about the plan of salvation this morning, but Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter commands all of us to repent and to be baptized for the remission of our sins. If we are not baptized, then you still have your sins. Mark chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus tells us, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 says, "Baptism now saves us." We can see a pattern throughout the New Testament of people who give their lives to Christ. Every one of them gets baptized or is made reference. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 3 and verse 5. If you want to get into the kingdom of God, that is, if you want to be a Christian, then you must be born again of the water and the Spirit. That was his answer back to Nicodemus. When Nicodemus asked him, "What? I have to be born again. What does that mean? Do I go back into my mother's womb and be born again?" And Jesus says simply, if you want to enter into my kingdom, you have to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4, Paul describes it like this. If you're buried with Christ in baptism, verses 5 and 6, the old man of sin is nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. And you must repent of those things and put off that old man of sin and put on Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, Paul says, if you are baptized, you put on Christ. Colossians chapter 2, I believe it is. He tells us all the things that we have to put on. Kindness, gentleness, self-control. But most of all, Paul tells us in Colossians, you have to put on love. That's what it means to put on Christ. It's not just a one and done thing. You don't just get baptized and suddenly you're saved forever. You have to continually choose to serve Christ. If you are a Christian, if you have strayed, if you have sin in your life that you need to repent of, in Acts chapter 8, verses 22 and 23, we are told that if we pray to God for forgiveness for the evil thoughts of our hearts and the sin, that God is faithful and will forgive us. If you're in any way subject to the gospel call of the invitation, I invite you to, in just a moment as we stand and sing, I invite you to step out of your aisle and step up here to the front, walk up here to the front, and we will assist you in any way that we can, whether it be in baptism, or whether it be in repentance and requesting prayers. If you're in any way subject to the gospel call, please come forward now as we stand and sing.